Bobby, can you turn me on, please? Hello? Hello? Okay. Very good. I don't know how to introduce Pastor Jack, because many of you know him far better than I do. And just to say, he's our pastor. Come on up front.
Is that the microphone working? Can you hear all right? Okay. The first thing I want to do before we look at the scriptures and before we think about what they have to say, I want to tell you all about one of the happiest times of my life. But yet it was one of the saddest times of my life also. Last year, whenever y'all met in Richmond, Virginia, and I was at home with my legs propped up with cellulitis, I was very sad. Because I knew that I wanted to be in Richmond, Virginia with you. And on that Tuesday night that I was sitting at home kind of having a pity party, you know. Uh-oh. All of a sudden the telephone rang and you folks made my day. You called me. Told me how much you missed me. And you know, you made me feel that I was there. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Because the Lord reinforced in my heart and my mind that I have a wonderful family here at the National Church Conference of the Blind, that even though I wasn't there, you didn't forget me. And I'm thankful for that. And I don't know who engineered that. And I don't know who was responsible for that. But all of you participated in it. And let me just say from the very depths of my heart, I love you. And I thank you. And I'll never quit thanking God for each one of you. Because you mean a great deal to me. Thanks again. Tonight, our scripture comes from the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. And it's already been read. We've already read that scripture. But yet I'd like to go back and just read it again. Because I want us to see something here that really, really, I think, needs to be indelibly set upon our hearts and our minds. I thought I had it marked here. But in the fourth chapter there, I want to just read to you what was taking place. And I want it to be fixed upon your mind. And I want you to let your mind dwell upon that moment, that time, and not dwell upon anything else. Look back. Look back. Look back to when Jesus came out from being tempted by the devil, and then walked along the Sea of Galilee. Put yourself there, if you will. I mean, I know we can't go back to that time in reality, but we can go back to that time in our mind. And put your mind there. And fix your heart and your mind and your eyes, inward eyes and outward eyes, upon Jesus. And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, it says. Let me read to you what the scripture says, beginning with verse 18 of the fourth chapter. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two men, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother. And they were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. Now these men were at work. They were about what they had to do to earn a living. They were doing what came naturally to them, or what God had given them the ability to do to make a living. And here comes Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of all mankind that will believe in Him. And here He comes along by the Sea of Galilee, and He sees Simon Peter, and He sees Andrew there, busy at their occupation. And He says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In Mark it says, "I will make you to become fishers of men." And the Bible tells us, and they, Simon Peter and Andrew, they straightway, in other words, they immediately, that's what straightway means, they immediately, or they straightway, left their nets and they followed Him. They gave up their occupation. They gave up something that was absolutely essential to their everyday of life. And it says they immediately, or they straightway, left their nets. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't say, "Well, we'll go tomorrow, or we'll go next week, or maybe we'll go." They just straightway and immediately, that's what the Bible says, they straightway or immediately left their nets and they followed Him. And the Bible goes on and says something else too. And going on further thence, Jesus saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father. And they were tending their net. They were mending their nets. And He called them. Now they were busy too. They were in their father's ship. They were working with their father, or working for their father, but they were there and they were working, doing what needed to be done. They were mending their nets. They had caught their fish and they were mending their nets, where they maybe got destroyed in some way. And Jesus went by, Simon Peter and Andrew was with Him. And He called them. And when Jesus called them, and they, the Bible says, immediately or straightway, they left the ship and their father, and they followed Him. The Bible tells us that these men, whether we realize it or not, gave up everything that they had at that particular point in their life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't ask any questions about it. They didn't say they had to go do something else and prepare to go. They just gave up what they were doing and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The call came to them from Jesus. A clarion call, a definite call, a call that was so forceful upon them that they could not do anything but follow him. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us, I don't know whether Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John had even heard about Jesus, but apparently they had. Or the Holy Spirit had spoken to them about Jesus. But when he came and they recognized him and he called them and they heard his voice, they could not do anything but follow him, because this is what the call that came to them demanded of them. Now, they could have refused, because we all have a free will, don't we? They could have said, no, 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 Jesus, you go on and get somebody else. I'm here looking after my occupation, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And John and James could have said, and my father expects me to mend the nets. But they didn't say that, did they? They followed Jesus. It was a call that came to them that they could not turn away from. Now, let me just share something with you about that. Every one of us here in this room, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we've heard the call from Jesus. But every one of us have not done as James and John and Andrew and Simon did. We haven't completely followed Jesus. We really haven't. Now, I'm not condemning, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me, too. We haven't followed Jesus as these men did. Because have you given up your occupation for Jesus? Have you given up your father for Jesus? Have you given up your mother for Jesus? Have you given up your wife, your husband, your children for Jesus? Have you given up everything in the world that is important to you? Have you given it up for Jesus? Have I? And I'll have to say, no, I haven't. Have you? No. And I think that's something we need to realize. Jesus gave a command. He said, follow me. And a command is something that we're supposed to immediately obey. And if you don't believe that, think back a little bit in life. I remember when I went to live with my grandfather. I wasn't but 7 years old. My grandfather said to me, son, you're going to have to do everything that your grandmother and I tell you to do. And if you ever sass your grandmother, you're in trouble. So what did Jack do? It wasn't about a week later I sassed my grandmother. My grandmother told me, says, you wait till Paul gets home. I didn't want to wait for Paul to get home. When he got home, we ate supper. I know grandmother had already told him about it. And I couldn't hardly swallow anything I was eating. He went and sat down in the parlor. You know, they used to call it the parlor. Looked over the newspaper for a few minutes. Before he did that, he told me, just stay right there at the kitchen table. And I did. And when he finished looking over the paper, we went to the coal shed. And he told me, he says, son, what did I tell you not to do that you did today? I says, I sassed Grandma. He says, that's right. He says, and that was a command I give you, and you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And boy, they were consequences. But you know, I never sassed my grandmother again. I learned a lesson. But he gave me that command, and I didn't pay attention to the command, and I received the punishment, right? And I remember when I first went into the military, I was a 16-year-old punk kid. And I thought, you know, I was in good shape, and I could outdo anybody else. And on the 5-mile hike in basic training, I lagged behind a little bit, and the sergeant said, Kenley, can't you keep up with the rest of them? I said, yeah, I can keep up with the rest of them, and you also. I overloaded, my mouth overloaded me. And I paid the consequences because I disobeyed the command that he had given, and the command was, you keep up with the rest of the people. And that night, after we had eaten meal in the mess hall, and they used to call it a mess hall, they call it a dining hall now, he made all those other fellas come out there and stand when they wanted to go to bed. And with a full field pack on, steel helmet, all the gear we needed for battle, him and I ran around the parade field. And we run. And I knew he wasn't going to give up. So I finally quit. And he had given me a command, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and I let my mouth overload me. And 2 weeks later, I cleaned the latrine every morning. So we pay the consequences, don't we, if we don't follow commands, don't we? But you know something? The greatest command that we have in our life, you and I that are Christians, is the same command that James and John and Simon and Andrew had here. Jesus said whenever he called us and gave us eternal life and gave us forgiveness and we repented of our sins, he called us to be his servants. And he called us to follow him. And we don't follow him as we ought to. One of the problems in our nation today and in other places throughout the world is God's people are not following God. And we're not following the commands that his only begotten Son has given us to follow, we that have given our lives to Jesus. When's the last time you sat down with an unsaved person and really tried to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time you gave up something that you wanted to do and followed Jesus, what he wanted you to do? I mean, I'm talking to myself too. Because many times we do things that we want to do when we want to do them, and maybe the Lord's laid on our heart to do something, and we say, well, I'll do that later. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to follow Jesus and do what he wants us to do first. Let me cite an example to you, and I've been guilty of this, and you have too. There's been times when I knew I needed to be in the house of the Lord to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit on the day to set aside to worship the Lord, and I decided I wanted to do something else, and I did what I wanted to do. Have you been there? I remember when my wife Gwen and I first became Christian. Our children were small. Our daughter Judy, who is 58 years old now, and our son Gary, who's 60 years old now, they were only around 3 or 4. Judy was 1 year old and Gary was 3 years old. Been a long time ago. We had given our lives to the Lord. We knew we needed to be in church on Sunday morning. We knew we needed to take our money that we had pledged to the church to tithe and an offering above and beyond the tithes and give it to the Lord. And we decided that we were going to take that money and we were going to go to Pine Mountain, which is a recreational area about 25 miles from Columbus, Georgia. And we were going to spend the day on a picnic, and we were going to swim at the Roosevelt State Park pool, and we were just going to have a good time that day. And we knew that wasn't what God wanted us to do. We knew that wasn't what we were supposed to do. We knew it as well as anybody could know it. We knew that wasn't what we were as Christians to do. But we did it anyway. Have you been there? Only 25 miles to go for a fine recreational day. We got there 8 hours later after 3 blowouts on the car. And after I had to buy a brand new tire. I had two old piles of junk tire, but I had to buy, after you have 3 blowouts, you finally have to buy a new one. We got there 8 hours later. We spread our picnic lunch. We ate quickly. We didn't go swimming. And we decided we better get headed back because if we have as much trouble going back as we had going up there, we wouldn't get home. But the car run perfectly all the way back. But that day the Lord punished us, and we deserved it. And he took away our tithe plus about another week's tithe because of having to have that new tire bought. He taught us then to tithe too, and to tithe every week. And not to pass up the Lord's day serving him when we need to be there. And we religiously, and I use that word kind of as a word that I can't think of anything better, but religiously from that time on till right now, the Lord's Day is always the Lord's Day. No matter where we were or where I am, I'm going to be in some worship service praising the Lord on the Lord's Day. And I'm going to give my money to the Lord regularly. And according to the way it's supposed to be given. That's what Jesus here was doing with these men. These men, Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John and the others that he called later, like Matthew and the rest of them that he called to be disciples, he gave them a command. And a command means this is business. This is what I want you to do, and since I'm your Savior, and since you have given your life to me, this is what you are commanded to do. And you need to follow that command. So the call to follow is something we need to pay attention to. Amen? Amen. And when I look back in the Bible, when I go even back to the book of Genesis and I look at Adam and Eve in the garden, God called them to be obedient to him and to follow him, didn't he? And he said, if you disobey me and you don't follow me, you're in trouble. Isn't that right? And what happened to them?
They disobeyed
and they got in trouble, and they got you and I in trouble too. And when we look at the people in the Old Testament time, you know, people like Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Joseph and all the rest of them, they were given commands by God. And God said to them, as long as you are obedient to me and you follow me, then you're going to be all right. But whenever you don't follow me, and whenever you're disobedient to me, you're in trouble. And we can look into the Word of God and we find that, don't we? And think about people in the New Testament times. I think about people that the New Testament tells us about. And our preacher this morning, Brother Vance, mentioned something about this. He said, you know, we have to be obedient. And we have to follow Jesus. And those apostles, whenever they met there on the day of Pentecost, they were being obedient unto the Lord, and they were waiting for what the Lord said he would send in their midst, the Holy Spirit, and they waited obediently, and they became powerful servants of the Lord. And if they hadn't obeyed him obeyed him as they should and hadn't followed him as they should, they wouldn't have been able to go out and through the power of the Holy Spirit lead 3,000 people to the Lord. They did that because they followed the call. They followed what the Lord wanted them to follow. They followed him. They followed him and did exactly what he would want them to do. And if you look back, you look into the book of Acts, you know, the book of Acts tells us so much about people being obedient to God. Think about them when they were put in jail and they were whipped and they were mistreated. They were put in stocks and bonds and the Lord freed them. Why? Because they were obedient. You know, I often thought that if I ever get in jail, I wish Paul had come there with me. I don't know whether I could sing if I was in jail. Could you, brother? I don't know if I could sing like him and Silas did, and all of a sudden God shake the earth and relieve all those chains and stocks and they were there. And I mean, I don't know if I could sing if I was in jail. Have you ever been in jail? When I was pastor at Monroeville, Alabama, I was only about 30 miles away from the maximum security prison at Atmore. And we had a ministry from our association where we went down there to that maximum security prison, and we even went to the death row and witnessed the people there. And I went into that prison a couple of times, and that's a frightening experience. I mean, they practically take all your clothes off of you. In fact, they do. You have to take all your clothes off. And they give you some coveralls. And then they search you after you put the coveralls on. And then they put you in one room and close the door behind you. And the door in front of you is locked. And then they take you through that door and close that door. And there's another locked door in front of you. And then you go into the prison cell, into the row, death row. And these people are people that have murdered people. And it's a frightening experience. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think I'd want to be in jail. And if I was in that condition, I don't think I could sing. But Paul and Silas sung. They sung at midnight. They sung. Why? Because they heard the call of God. They heard the call of Jesus, and they were following Jesus. And what did he do? He turned them loose, didn't he? And then what did they do? They went out and won the jailer and his whole house unto the Lord. And the man, the jailer, became such a wonderful servant of the Lord that he even cleansed the wounds and the stripes that he'd put upon their back. We got to follow the call. My brothers and sisters in Christ here in America today, you and I have got to follow the call. We've got to follow Jesus. Because if we don't, then who else is going to do it? The Lord calls us to witness for Him. The Lord calls us to be His servants. And we need to be obedient to that call. Now let me just give you a couple of other things and then I'll close. If we're going to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the call that He's given us, if we've already given our lives to Jesus, we've taken the first step, we've invested our life in Jesus. Boy, that's the greatest investment you can make. We have to invest our lives in Jesus. I mean, we have to invest our lives into every part of Jesus, just like we would take money and invest it into every kind of bonds and stocks or whatever we might put it in. And then after we invest our lives in Jesus, we've got to identify with Him. We've got to identify with Jesus everywhere we go. If we're really following the call, we've got to identify with Jesus. In other words, we can't back off and act like the world. We've got to be people that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining through us. We've got to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus told us we're supposed to be. We've got to be people that we are living the life that we should live for Christ. We've got to identify with Him. And we don't need to be ashamed to identify with Him. The other day I had an opportunity of witnessing to a young man who's gotten mixed up in the Mormon cult. He had given his life to Jesus back when he was probably about 11 years old. He's about 18 now. He came to my house because I've known him ever since he was about, I guess, 6 or 7 years old. And he told me, he says, "Brother Kinley," he says, "I've gotten mixed up in something I don't need to be mixed up in. I just believe what they tell me, but one way, but then another way I can't." And I talked to him for, 2 or 3 hours at least. And thanks be to God, thanks be to the Lord, I was able to get him to see the right way. And he was supposed to go today and recommit his life to Jesus. And I hope he did. But he said this. I'm not saying this in a bragging way. He said, "But Brother Kinley, you're the only one I know that really shows that you love Christ." And he knows a lot of Christian people. He says, "But every time I've talked to you, you tell me about Christ." And he says, "I know that you live a life that you honor Christ." And he said, "That's why I come to you." And I'm not saying that in a bragging way. I'm just saying that's what the Lord done to send him to me, that I could get him out of what he was getting into. And I hope that he made that commitment today. And I believe he did. But we've got to be the light of the world. We've got to be the salt of the earth. We've got to identify with Jesus. People have got to identify us with Jesus. If we're really answering the call. Not only do we need to invest our lives in Jesus and identify with Him, but we've got to be people that we do everything we can to lead others to Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. That's the biggest responsibility we have. That's the greatest challenge, the greatest call we have, is to lead people to Christ. To tell them about Christ. We don't really lead them to Christ. The Holy Spirit does that, but He uses us. And we need to tell people about Jesus. So the call to follow is a call that we need to listen to and we need to be obedient unto. And then we need to live a life in such a way that everyone can see Jesus in us. No matter where we go, no matter what the conditions are, we need to live a life where people can see Jesus in us. Amen? Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that He has given every one of us that have given our lives to Him the call to follow Him and become fishers of men and to be shining examples for Him. And Almighty Father, we need to answer that call. Not just today, but every day of our lives until the day that You call us home. Almighty Father, help us to be the servants that You would have us to be. May we never forget that when we follow Jesus, and we follow Him obediently, that the Holy Spirit of God is right there with us. And no matter what the circumstances might be, no matter what the obstacles might be in our way, no matter what the hindrances might be, He will overcome them. And we can be what You would have us to be. Thank You for giving us the call to serve You. What a humble position that is, Almighty Father, that we can just serve the One who died upon the cross of Calvary for us, went to the tomb for us, and came forth from the tomb in order that we, believing in Him, have eternal and everlasting life and forgiveness of sin. Thank You, Almighty Father. And we pray that even here today and for the rest of the days of our lives, that we might be obedient servants, following Jesus and following His command. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for all that You do for us as we endeavor to serve like You would have us to serve. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's take about a whole minute and a half, 2 minute stretch break before we do our hymn sing.
Let's now begin our hymn sing. If anyone has any requests.
I do.
What story?
Hymn number 49, Braille page 31, The Church is One Foundation.
What's the number?
Hymn 29.
Braille page 31. How many verses are there?
Help me. I need a trip.
29. Yeah.
There are three verses.
Yeah, sorry. Hymn 29, page 31. Braille page 31. I'm sorry. Okay. 31. Living for Jesus? Do you know what page number and hymn number?
Oh, 104. Thank you for the help.
Page 104?
Denise Albritton, Los Angeles.
Okay. I don't know. Page 114 in Braille, and hymn number 104. How many verses are there? Three? Okay, we'll do all three. Okay. That one. Okay, Reba. Good, very good. $183 in Braille. There are two verses. Yeah, I love this song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions America the Beautiful, hymn number 9, page 10. All verses. How many are there? Yes.